Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, questions as new evidence emerges in the case of the death of Belfast boy Noah Donoghue. Crunch time for Stephen Kenny as Ireland take on Gibraltar tonight. Britain's COVID inquiry enters its public phase and it's likely to happen here too. But what does an Irish pandemic look back need to examine? We'll find out. These are most definitely salad days, but do you know your dressings? Will have a selection for you to make and try with Chef Holly Dalton. She's the queen of all she surveys. But do you know the full Beyoncé backstory from Destiny's Child to superstardom? We'll get the ultimate guide later on. And Dr. David Coleman is back with us to take your parenting questions too. So any issues you're dealing with from the tiniest baby to the adult child who might still be keeping you awake at night, do send them in now, 51551. You can also email the programme todaycb@rte.ie. First though, this morning, President Michael D. Higgins' comments on neutrality in a Business Post interview have drawn a lot of criticism. The president said Ireland is playing with fire during what he calls a dangerous period of drift in foreign policy. And he went on to say that we must avoid burying ourselves in other people's agendas. He made his comments ahead of the first meeting of the government's new forum on international security policy on Thursday. Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh, law lecturer with the Southeast Technological University, is on the line, along with Fionnán Sheehan, who's here in the studio, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. And Jennifer, to you first, has the president breached the limitations of his role as set down in the constitution with these comments he's made at the weekend?
The only limitation that is there in the constitution when Michael D. Higgins is speaking is that he either gets the permission and runs it through the Council of State if it is talking to the nation, as in going on a full broadcast type, pandemic type broadcast, or else that he has gone through the government and got their permission if he's having a joint meeting of the House of the Oireachtas. Neither of those issues are at play here. And when it comes to general speech, as in an interview, in a newspaper, opening the local GAA pitch, none of those things have to go through the government or the Council of State, because he's a citizen like any other citizen who's entitled to his opinions and convictions.
But eyebrows have been raised because there is a convention there, a tradition about making comments like these that refer to government policy.
There may be a convention. Nobody has gone near the levels of calling anyone a thundering disgrace, as we did have previously with a previous president. But to be honest with you, Michael D. Higgins is pretty much giving the government's eyebrows a good workout over the past few years, because he does talk about these types of issues. And it's only a convention. He hasn't broken any constitutional rules. And at the end of the day, if the government feels like he is meddling too much and they've had too much of his eyebrow-raising and hair-raising moments, perfectly open to them to try and impeach him.
Mm-hmm. And there is no question of that happening. And we've seen a muted response from politicians to this. Fionnán, this is a good moment to bring you in here. We had that statement from Micheál Martin yesterday. The president was not mentioned in that statement, intentionally, you have to imagine. And the statements that we've had, some from Charlie Flanagan, former Minister for Justice, Neil Richmond, maybe a little pointed, but they've been quite restrained, would you say?
Yeah, but in the background, that there is an awareness that this has cast this consultative forum in a particular light. It has put an air of suspicion around it, basically suggesting that this is a sop for joining NATO. And Michael D. Higgins is not a hard left TD inside the Dáil. He is a very great influencer of public opinion. And the fact that he has come out with these comments at this particular time in the week in which it was due to kick off is particularly significant. And I don't think that hasn't been lost on anybody in government.
So he's caused them a problem, is what you're saying?
I think not since Churchill sunk the French fleet at Mers el Kabir has an ally undertaken such a strategic attack on something. I mean, he's supposed to be there to uphold the constitution. He's supposed to be somebody who is a safeguard and a safety net against a government exceeding its own powers. But along the lines, we have seen on everything from the fiscal treaty through to the housing crisis and the views of economists that Michael D. Higgins has clearly interpreted the presidency as a platform for him to express his views that very often people will say they are ideological. What if we had a president who took a different view on this consultative forum, who had come out this weekend and said, well, I think it's about time we examine our neutrality. We're shirking our responsibilities on an international and European level. Would the people who are praising him now be happy? Mm-hmm. That's the question you have to ask when you're questioning, has he exceeded his role here?
But Jennifer, just coming back to how this situation has evolved, because previous presidents have butted heads with government on policy, haven't they? He's not the first to do this.
Absolutely correct. I mean, you can look at the presidency in terms of pre-Mary Robinson, where you only had the thundering disgrace issue, and post-Mary Robinson. And it's not just Michael D. It has been since Mary Robinson has gone in that there has been, I wouldn't necessarily say a pushing, but an exploration of the boundaries. And there's one point there that Fanon said about that the president is there to uphold the constitution. What Michael D. Higgins has been saying has been a lot closer to what is actually in the Constitution than people have given him credit for. Because we don't mention the word neutrality in the Constitution. If you search the document, that word does not exist. But what does exist is that we adhere to the international rule of law, we look at the Pacific settlement of disputes, and that we are not saying that we're neutral, but we are not the ones who are going to be on a front line taking on any army. So Michael D. Higgins has to be given credit to a certain extent that what he is saying is more in line with what is there with the international relations article in the Constitution.
But do you understand Fionnán's point that saying it at this time, in the week when we have this forum beginning, is problematic potentially for the government?
If it is a case that he wants people to pay attention to the comments, this is exactly the week when he would say it. And at the end of the day, the role of the president is to uphold the constitution, is to sign into law what is brought through the Oireachtas. They're not a person who is cryogenically frozen and defrosted just when we need them to sign legislation. They are an independent, to a certain extent, individual with the limitations of what's there in the constitution. Sure, they can't leave the country unless they have the permission of the government. There is a lot of restraints that are there. But when it comes to actually being a person with their own thoughts and opinions, they are a citizen like any other.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing preventing Michael D. Higgins from saying what he said on this or any other topic, Fionnán.
No, I mean,
Unless he wants to just bring them all into the Oireachtas and never tell anyone about anything, he's not breaking any rules.
No, and governments then are entitled to respond as they see fit, and their response has been quite diplomatic. I mean, Micheál Martin does make a rather telling line yesterday where he talks about political leadership means taking on the responsibility of putting in place policies and practices to keep this country and its people safe and secure. And the reference there is political leadership. Michael D. Higgins is not in a role where he has to make political policy decisions as the government now does in a very challenging international environment. Something that also very much put nose out of joint yesterday was a fairly gratuitous attack on Louise Richardson, who is the academic who will host this consultative forum. And basically, his comments on her was, well, he could pick somebody else, and that she's a dame and seems to be trying to relate that, you know, she's in some way some form of imperialist or something like that. Does her enormous injustice. I mean, this is somebody who was awarded this honour in the UK because of her work in terms of education and disadvantage. She's actually somebody who would, from her own perspective, come from a number of campaigns that Michael D. Higgins was involved in himself, the anti-apartheid movement back in the 1980s, for example, which is where she cut her teeth on political activism. So it's a bit of a cheap dig on his part to well, go, I'm sh- go I'm down sure that
you,
route.
You heard Cathal Berry this morning on Morning Ireland, the TD, saying that he hoped she had received a personal apology from the President on
why,
that.
Now, why should you receive a personal apology when he made the public criticism of her?
Well,
if he's going to make an apology, let him make it publicly.
As far as we know, there has been no apology or attempt to approach her.
If the President wants to express his opinions, then other people are entitled to express opinions back at him. And you'd have to say, did he really do his research into Louise Richardson, if that sums up his view on her?
Well, we haven't heard from her, because I know that some of the media asked for a response from her office, and she referred those queries on to the Department to government.
I doubt she's
going
to get, to be fair to her, she's not going to get involved in a row with the President of Ireland.
Can we come back to the forum, Fionnán, the aim of it? I mean, just to be clear for people, is neutrality on the table? Is the triple lock on the table? Or is the government just testing the water here?
So, we haven't really had any sort of reflective debate on neutrality, you'd have to say, in this country for many a long year. You can point to the Nice referendum and the subsequent forum in Europe, the triple lock mechanism coming into place there, where any military activity had to have that approval of government, Dáil, and UN. And even at that point, that was almost a sop by Bertie Ahern to keep people's fears allayed by inserting that alongside the Nice Treaty, repeated then with Lisbon, because there was talk of European armies and so on at that point. What we're seeing now is basically the world has changed. Geography doesn't make you neutral anymore. The fact we are peripheral on the edge of Europe doesn't mean that we can't be attacked in other hybrid ways, be it on the seas or through the internet. And we've seen that in recent times with incursions into our airspace, incursions into our territorial water, and also links between bad actors who have undertaken cyber attacks against this state and their links back to government. So your isolation doesn't keep you safe. And in the wake of the Russian invasion of the Ukraine, pretty much every other country in Europe had a very rapid debate on their neutrality and their military position. And Ireland was a bit of an outlier in that regard. We're not rushing towards getting the forms for NATO here, but this does seem to be an exploration of what exactly we can or can't do and what would we need to do to in order to engage on a wider level. I don't think anybody is saying we're going to give up our military neutrality. Nobody is saying we're going to join NATO here, but there does seem to be a lot of constraints on what we can actually do at the moment, and that's affecting our participation on an EU level, and also in terms of us matching what we would regard as our political position with our ability to provide even basics like funding.
Okay, it's worth reiterating what Micheál Martin said yesterday in that statement. The forum is not a binary discussion on neutrality and was never intended to be. The government has made it clear that we do not intend to change Ireland's policy of military neutrality. But I suppose all of this shows us, Jennifer, that perhaps it is time to have that conversation.
I certainly think it is, especially when you look at the situation that we often have Russian military aircraft flying over us. We have to ask the RAF to go up and check out the situation, because in fairness to our Air Force, by the time they go up and go over Donegal, the Russians will be already parked back in Moscow. So we do have to be in a position where we can actually defend ourselves. Defence does not mean that we're going to be starting wars with anyone. But in this day and age, we actually have to have a proper constructive conversation. Yes, the President is perfectly entitled to his views, but we do need that grown-up conversation, and especially acknowledging the fact that there is a severe issue with people when it does come to the mention of NATO, the mention of neutrality. We've had to get protocols put onto European treaties to get them passed on the second go in Ireland with them, and bear in mind the activities of the British Army in Northern Ireland, who at that time would have been part of NATO and still are part of NATO. So they are all concerns that have to be actually addressed in a grown-up, calm voice. But also, the other point that Michael D did bring up in that interview was the resources, the payroll, even if nothing else, for the privates in the army who are the lowest paid. We do need to actually treat these people properly with proper terms and conditions and also to look into those bullying issues that Michael D also commented on, which has been brought up numerous times in the army.
Right. But he seems to be linking funding in the Defence Forces with cultural change and saying the cultural change has to come first, the funding has to come later. Now, the cultural change...
Well, he hopes that they're not linked, I think, is what he was saying.
He hopes they're not linked, but he seems to be saying that there are almost separate issues. If anything, you could argue they're conjoined. The overall reform of the Defence Forces and the role that it takes is going to be an issue that has to come about quite fast. And you'd have to question whether Michael D. Higgins is actually contributing to what Jennifer describes here as a rational and calm debate.
All right, well, let's see what happens next. Dr. Jennifer Cavanagh and Fionnán Sheehan, thank you both for coming in. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.